SRI Lanka, IMF deal is not a solution. Restart decisive struggle against government attacks. To Senan, Committee for a Workers' International. On the 20th of March, the International Monetary Fund, IMF, announced a four-year $3 billion bailout for SRI Lanka. The deal is nowhere near enough to solve the deep crisis that SRI Lanka faces. Despite declaring bankruptcy, the SRI Lankan government continues to promise to pay back its debt of over $35 billion. Parts of the repayment have only temporarily been suspended by lenders. The government may need to spend much more than what the IMF had offered each year just to service its debt. The IMF deal is presented by the government, the right-wing opposition, and a section of the so-called left as the ultimate solution. This is particularly due to the so-called structural reform agreement that the government has made with the IMF. These measures, which had already started to be implemented, are creating enormous misery. A wage freeze and reductions, slashing of overtime payments, increasing interest rates for all borrowing, tax increases and so on, are in full swing already as preparation to secure the IMF deal. Plans have already been made to sell Lanka Hospital, telecoms, and other services. These measures will not only create more hardship, but will also further deepen the crisis. IMF deals have a proven history of making conditions worse, rather than actually solving anything. The IMF's involvement in Argentina is an example of how it continues to wreck living conditions. 6 months of negotiations with the IMF were also centered on another key aspect, geopolitical conflict between the US and China. Though the government now claims that it has obtained support from China for the deal, it is still not clear to anyone what deal it has made. Lack of transparency is not something new in SRI Lanka, and is another trait that the current president, Ranil Wickremesinghe, inherited from the Rajapaksa family. Based on the brief statement the president made to parliament, it is clear that these deals are only temporary postponements, rather than concrete improvements. Extending the repayment period is presented as a solution with a perspective for growth, without mentioning where this imaginary growth is going to come from. None of the economic problems that led to the country's bankruptcy last year are resolved. The economy continues to survive only on the basis of handouts and further borrowing from any country that is willing to offer anything. The developing world economic crisis and the sharpening geopolitical tension in the Asia-Pacific region further add to the complications. Worsening conditions as a consequence of these policies, tens of thousands of workers face a reduction in living standards which the country has never faced before. There are reports of starvation and of families forced to choose which children will receive an education, etc. "When I cook rice in an electric cooker, my heat becomes noodles," commented Abdul Rahim, a worker following the enormous electricity price hike that took place in mid-February this year. "It has gone up further by 65%, an increase of 300% in a year. Many simply do not have any choice but to switch off electricity completely as they cannot afford to pay. This is in addition to further price hikes of fuel and other key commodities. Consumer price inflation remains at about 50% since June last year. The government continues to preach that workers, farmers and the poor must accept the hardship if they want to feel better sometime in the distant future. I'm aware of the hardships that the people of this country have had to suffer. As a government, we apologize for that," said Ranil recently in parliament, as though this bogus apology will bring comfort to those starving. The government has made no effort so far to curtail the enormous profits still being made by the capitalists. While asking workers to tighten their belts, the government is making all efforts to maximize profit and fatten the capitalists' stomachs. Workers must refuse to pay massively inflated electricity bills. Poor farmers and small traders should refuse to pay the macro debt they have. Campaigns should be built to organize such non-payment. We must demand that the government refuses to pay debt and invest that money into essential industries producing essential commodities, including food items, and establish an adequate, democratically controlled distribution mechanism. We must reject the conditions imposed by the IMF deal. Political instability. The current government is extremely unpopular. the president was not elected, but appointed through emergency measures. He lost his seat in the last election and his party could not even win a single parliamentary constituency. But he managed to obtain a single seat for his United National Party, UNP, through the National List mechanism. In a statement, made to Parliament on the 22nd of March, he admits that he has no support, but claims self-belief is enough. The UNP has no support in Parliament, but relies on the disgraced Rajapaksa clan to carry through policies to attack the masses. A mammoth mass movement forced out the Rajapaksa clan and the whole cabinet during the July uprising last year. However, the current president used emergency powers and the military to suppress the mass movement, and bring the old regime back into power through the back door. Not even formal democracy exists anymore. The president's attempt to hold a provincial election recently backfired. Ranil, trapped in his small Colombo bubble, assumed that somehow the people had bought into what he was doing, and believed in the possibility of him winning the election before the IMF deal, bringing some sort of mandate to the deal, as demanded by the West. However, soon after calling the election, when the election rally started, it was clear how unpopular the Rajapaksas, including Ranil, are in the country. They could not get any decent turnout at the election rallies. As soon as it became clear that the ruling party was likely to lose the election massively, it was called off. The attempt to promote the ex-president's son, Naimal Rajapaksa, as a new leader was a spectacular failure. Even his former ally, Wimalwi Ramasa, called him a premature boiler chicken as he went around empty stadiums speaking to empty chairs. The opposition Samaji Janabalorgia, SJB, United People's Power, was also unable to fully benefit from the enormous unpopularity of the ruling party, because they do not have a clear alternative to Ranil's policies. Their slightly increased popularity was linked to lesser rivalism, rather than proactive support for them. In this vacuum, the Janathiva Mukthi Peramuna, JVP, People's Liberation Front, and its coalition, the NPP, were the main force that gained significant support. Although the NPP also does not have a clear alternative and offers indirect support to the IMF deal, it is gaining popularity due to its left rhetoric and anti-corruption position. CSRI-Lanka is the National People's Movement, a viable mass alternative at socialistworld.net. Although the JVP-led NPP has adopted more right-wing policies, including openly supporting the privatization of education, their gains will still be regarded as a blow to capitalist interests. However, the JVP has not presented a decisive challenge to any of the government's policies. Their position now revolves completely around calling for a new election. The establishment's position is now to call the election only if they can win. Everyone, including the JVP, knows how unpopular this government is. Recently, JVP leader Anura Kumara Dasanayake even challenged President Ranil to organize a meeting of at least 100 people to demonstrate support. It is not an exaggeration to say that Ranil could not even pull such a small genuine mobilization. Despite knowing this weakness and the mood of mass uprising and anger that exists, the JVP continues to be a barrier to mounting a decisive fight back. Mood for struggle emerging. Various unions came together to call for a 24-hour general strike on the 15th of March, with the aim of continuing the strike if their demands for a wage raise are not met. The Government Medical Officers Association, GMOA, the Seal and Bank Employees Union, along with teachers and various other small unions, have joined forces to push back against the government's massive wage cuts. Militancy among the unions is on the increase, and further strike action, including a general strike, is possible in the coming days or months. Workers have no other option but to escalate the fight back. University students and youth continue to hold various protests regularly, despite non-stop brutal attacks and arrests by government forces. It is this brutal repressive measure that has so far held back further movements from developing. The government is also bringing in legislation dressed up as anti-terrorist laws, which can be used against protesters and opponents to use in future struggles. However, the anger and frustration against the regime is reaching a tipping point. need to build an alternative. The United Socialist Party, CWISR Alanka, is calling for a one-day general strike and mass mobilization, with the aim of restarting the decisive struggle against the ongoing attacks by the government. A generalized fight back must be built, not just by demanding improvements in conditions, but also with the aim of building a clear workers' alternative. Demands such as non-payment of debt, capital control, the establishment of democratically controlled distribution of essentials and worker-controlled nationalization must be implemented. An emergency economic policy needs to be implemented that will benefit the workers and poor in opposition to the punishing policies protecting big profits. But unless a viable mass workers' alternative is built, such policies will not be implemented. The call for Eregalia 2.0 struggle should be linked to clear demands and organizational proposals to build people's assemblies across the country. The existing people's assemblies and various organizations that emerged during the last Eregalia should adopt such a strategy and call for establishing a democratically elected constituent assembly to reorganize society. The slogan "Go home, Ranul, and take 225 MPs with you" is gaining popularity and gives an indication of how capitalist institutions have become very unpopular. We must work to build a new real alternative for workers, farmers, youth, and the poor that can help to defend living standards and organize the election of a constituent assembly. What should follow such slogans should be proposals for a socialist alternative. The collective action of unions and mass mobilizations can expose the outright lie of the capitalists, that there is no alternative to misery,